Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel, and welcome to another episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. I want to share a quote with you by Stuart Edward White and Harwood White. It goes like this. Curious how we acquire wisdom. Over and over again, the same truth is thrust under our very noses. We encounter it in action. We are admonished of it. We read it in the written word. We suffer the experience. We gradually assent to the advice. We approve intellectually the written word, but nothing happens inside of us. Then one day, some trivial experience or word or encounter stops us short. A gleam of illumination penetrates the depth of our consciousness. We see. Usually, it is but a glimpse. But on rare occasion, a brilliant flash reveals truth fully formed, and we marvel that this understanding has escaped us so long. Ladies and gentlemen, I had that experience around 1998 when I finally picked up and read the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And that book probably shifted my awareness and my understanding about how the universe works and my place in it and my understanding of money and how to bring wealth into my life more than any other book that I have ever read. So much so that the book itself became a passion and a magnificent obsession for me. And I taught it in probably a few hundred seminars over the course of about 4 years. It's not a seminar that I teach very often. Kind of funny to say, but it's true. It's not a seminar that I teach very often at this point in my career. The last time that I taught this was back in 2010, The Science of Getting Rich. And I'm going to be teaching it again here shortly. And I wanted to share with everybody, all of our podcast listeners, some of the incredible wisdom that Wallace Wattles brought to our world. But I want to give you a background on why this book was so impactful for me, because I literally sat down and read it on a Saturday afternoon from about 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, and it literally brought me to tears. No joke. I mean, I was literally crying. That's how profound of an effect this book had on my life. Now, what's interesting is I would go around and I would give this book out to people. And I would say, read this, it would change your life. And it didn't. It wasn't changing anybody else's life. Nobody saw in the book what I saw. Nobody had the understanding that I had. And I realized, and nobody was getting the results that I was getting also. I should point that out. And I thought to myself, why is this? This is really an interesting kind of anomaly that I'm experiencing. This book has had a major impact in my life, and yet I'm watching other people and it's not having an impact. What's going on? And what I realized was that what made this book so special for me was that since I was 4 years old, I had a question running around in my mind that this book answered. And at the end of the quote that I read you, he says, usually it is but a glimpse, but on a rare occasion, a brilliant flash reveals truth fully formed, and we marvel at the understanding that has escaped us for so long. I walked around, So 16 years, I guess, 18 years, I'm sorry, 18 years of my life, I walked around with a question in my mind as to why is it that people are suffering? Why is it that there's so many unhappy people in the world? And that question came to me out of a very painful experience that I had virtually no understanding of when I was 4 years old. We had a tragedy in my family. My mother's brother and his two children, who I was being raised with at the time, died. and they died in a house fire. It was an explosion. Something was wrong with the heater. It was February in a suburb just outside of Chicago. It was mother plucking cold out there, and they turned the heat up because it wasn't working, and it blew up, and the three of them died. And my family did not know how to deal with that tragedy. They were not psychologically or emotionally ready for it. I don't know that anybody actually is, but my family certainly was not. And it impacted them in a way that affected me, and I could see how it was affecting our whole family as a small child. And with the limited understanding that I had, I didn't understand the depth of what was wrong, but I definitely knew that something was wrong. And my basically not so much my parents, but my grandmother had me involved in church on a limited basis and then a little more formal basis as I got a little bit older. But the message that I was getting there was that we were raised and created by a loving God and God loves his children. And I was getting that whole positive religious message, but it was not matching up with the life that I was experiencing for myself. So I think a lot of you could probably relate to that, especially depending on where you were born and the way that the world is right now. Anybody that's my age, and as of this recording, I'm 52, you know, we have a little bit of depth in life where we have a little bit of contrast, I should say. We've seen the ups and downs a little bit more than maybe somebody who's 22. But regardless, I don't think that it takes a genius to figure out that we are in a fucked up world right now in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, we're in a very beautiful world, and things are more amazing than they've ever been. Even saying all of that, giving those two kind of contradictions, people are struggling and people want bigger answers and they want more truthful answers and they want answers that are going to actually make a difference in their life. And I was thinking about this, and a few people had mentioned it. I get the question frequently, how come you don't teach the science of getting rich anymore? And it has nothing to do with my preference for it or the teaching or anything else. It's just being very, it was a staple in my life for a long period of time. And then I kind of evolved in the teaching, started writing my own material. And we're, putting people through a very successful process that works for the people that I coach and come to my events. And, you're busy throughout the year or whatever. So it's something that I pull off the shelf every so often and I dust off and I teach it again. And people had been asking me about it more and more regularly. So I thought, I think that I'm getting the message that this is the time to bring it out of the mothballs and teach this brilliant wisdom in the very unique way that I have the ability of teaching it. And that is not, I'm not saying that to impress you, but to impress upon you that I have a lot of knowledge with this book. I feel like it's like an appendage on my body in a way. I'm very, very connected with it and with the teaching. So back to the day that this book changed my life. I want to also say that for 2 years, I had been aware of the book. It was a little green book, and it just said The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles on the front of it. And, out of ignorance, my mind was going, maybe it probably has something to do with economics or accounting or something. I wasn't really looking for that at the time in my life. I was looking for deeper answers, and I had no idea that this book had deeper answers. I was also judging it because it's not that big of a book. It was kind of like, well, it's not that big, how much could really be in there type thing. And I just didn't buy it. I mean, it wasn't like it cost a lot or, anything weird. I just looked over it. And then one day I realized that this book, people would also say to me, have you read The Science of Getting Rich yet? Have you read The Science of Getting Rich yet? And I was like, no. And one day I thought to myself, there's a reason this thing keeps getting put in front of me. I better pick it up and give it a read. And I was so happy when I did, because all those questions that I could not get answers to when I was a child, like Harwood White and Stuart Edward White say, became fully formed in my mind that afternoon. It answered and put into the proper order all of the mysteries of the universe in regards to people, in regards to who we need to be, in regards to what our real purpose is in life, and in regards to how do we bring in an endless stream of money coming into our life with the little or no effort that so many other people write about but don't explain as eloquently or as simply as Waddles does in this great book. I caution the reader, though. I think that there's a respectful caution that should go into this, into like if you go get the book and read it. A person reads and understands something based on their level of understanding where they are in their life. And that's why I realized that so many people weren't doing anything with it. However, when I would teach the seminar, it would be a totally different situation, because I would get into the explanations and the understandings that people needed, along with adding my own dialogue to the book that would really get it to come out and pop and dance and really give something tangible to work with as far as this book goes. Now, Eric Hoffer said, to learn, we need a certain degree of confidence, not too much and not too little. If you have too little confidence, you're going to think that you can't learn. And if you have too much, you're going to think that you don't have to learn. Prior to me getting to this book, I think I was in the place where I had too much. I was a little arrogant, but I was also stubborn about what I was looking for. So I think that a person has to find that sweet spot in life where they're really hungry for the real answer, because that's what this book is. This book is not fluff. Yes, it has an esoteric bent to it. There's no question. But what is in this book is it's like digging in a vein of pure gold in your mind. So Waddles said this. He said a person's right to life means his right to have the free and unrestricted use of all things which may be necessary to his fullest and mental, spiritual, and physical unfolding. In other words, his right to be rich. And this is where the book starts, which I find to be absolutely fascinating, because it kind of just grabs you by the throat right off the bat. Sentence one, paragraph one, chapter one, the right to be rich. He says, whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. And when I do the seminar and I go through this very first sentence, I stop and I ask people to just do a check-in for a moment with themselves and ask them, what do they think about that? What do they feel in their body based on that sentence? Now, let me read that sentence to you one more time. Whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. And most of the people in the audience will shout out, money won't make you happy. Money's not everything. There's things that are more important than money. And I, excuse me, I agree with that. And I also agree with the idea that unless a person fully develops themselves, they are not able to step into their purpose. They are not able to live their purpose. They are not able to bring their purpose to the world. And he goes on with this sentence to say this: no person can rise to his greatest possible height in talent or soul development unless he has plenty of money. In order to unfold the soul and to develop talent, he must have many things to use. He cannot have these things unless he has the money to buy them with. It is important for you to remember that spirit awaits direction from the soul. Ask and it shall be given was excellent advice. So what he's really saying is that a person is never going to reach their fullest potential unless they study, unless they interact with other people, unless they interact with other people that are smarter than them, people that want to help them, people of a higher understanding and awareness of why they're here, that they want to make a difference. And if we're going to do that, we're going to need plenty of money to do it. And not just plenty of money, we're going to need to move into mastery of money. Now, here's one of the things that I think is very important. On the surface, because it says The Science of Getting Rich, and in the book, he talks about money many times. He talks about riches. But we have to understand the lineage of how money actually comes to us. In order to start to grab the depth of genius that is actually in this book. And number one, money comes from one source. Everything comes from the same source. Some people call it God. Some people call it the universe. Some people call it the architect. You call it whatever it is that you want. It still comes from one source. And money comes through people. So if we really want to learn how to become rich in our life, and I'm not just talking about intellectually rich or emotionally rich or relationally rich, but I'm talking about materialistic, money in the hand, money in the wallet or purse, money in the bank, that kind of rich, we have to master a couple of things. Number one, we have to master our relationship with the infinite, with God, with the universe, with spirit, with whatever you want to call it. And we have to be able to master our relationship with our fellow human beings, because money comes from one and through the other. And if we don't master those two things, we're done before we even start. So this is one of the reasons why there's so many people that read the book don't get anything out of the book, because they don't understand that going in. So they're not looking at the material in this book from the perspective of how does this make me a better person? They're reading the book for how can I just get more money? And when we do that, we're not actually working on ourselves at all. So the third thing that we have to do is we have to really work on ourselves to be the kind of person that interacts spiritually or energetically in the world and interacts relationally with other people, so that not only is the money benefiting us, but we're benefiting everybody else that we come into contact with in our life, so that the money does actually flow. But we have to grow as people to be able to do that. And the hard truth that nobody wants to hear is that most people that enter into professional development, most people that enter into personal development, they do not want to grow beyond what makes them comfortable. And it really requires a complete mind frame of, I am going to surrender to whatever life needs to show me so that I may develop myself into the person that I need to be in order to make an impact upon the world. When I read the book, I was coming from this perspective of having this question about why is it that so many people are suffering in life? And so that was my focus in the book. Now, even at the moment that I was reading it, I was not aware of that. I don't think it was until after I was done with the book where I really realized that my question was guiding what I was getting out of the material. What was not guiding it was, how much money can I make? That's not what was guiding me. Most people who pick up this book, that's what's guiding them. I wanted the answer to some really deep questions in life. Those questions getting answered and me understanding and building the knowledge around how to work with other people, how to work with spirit, how to understand the laws of the universe is what allowed me to go out there and build a multi-million dollar company. It's what allowed me to have friends all over the world. It is directly responsible for it. This book is directly responsible for at least $20 million in revenue in my company, and indirectly responsible for all of it. So, when you really sit back and think about now, and that's just me, the people that brought this book into my life, The Lineage of Individuals, we're probably getting into hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in revenue, and the changing of billions of lives, at least hundreds of millions of lives. I mean, it's got to be in the billions that it's impacted directly and indirectly, and nobody even knows. Nobody's aware that this book was behind that impact. And so let me explain to you how this book has that impact. So the book was written around 1903 by Wallace Wattles. And there was a big spiritual movement in the turn of the century back then. There were a lot of books written. James Allen, Think and Grow Rich, was written back then. I could just quote a lineage of very important books in history that were written. This book, up until recently, was probably one of the least well-known. The classics, when I found it, were very well-known, but The Science of Getting Rich was not well-known at all. As a matter of fact, it had almost kind of petered off into obscurity. You really couldn't even find the book. There were no reprints of the book. I happened to find an original copy, which I gave to my mentor as a gift after I took it and studied from it. But it was only into the mid or late 90s that it started to go into reprint, and it was only reprinted in some very small circles of individuals. So having said that, where does it start to make an impact? Well, the impact is when Earl Nightingale and Lloyd Conant, who developed the company Nightingale Conant, got their hands on it. And the story, as I understand it, is that before Nightingale Conant was built into the largest self-development company in the world, he got a hold of the book, The Science of Getting Rich, and he called it The Little Green Book, Lloyd Conant did. And he went home and he spent all weekend studying this book. And then out of that study, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to build the world's biggest self-development company. I don't even think it was called self-development back in those days. So we're talking the late 50s, early 60s. Earl Nightingale was one of the most well-known radio hosts on talk radio. He was doing positive motivational talks. I think it was every day, and he was the only person in history to ever get a gold record album for a positive motivational message, which we all now know as the classic "The Strangest Secret." All of that came out of this book, The Science of Getting Rich. So how does that affect the lineage? Well, if the lineage from there goes into the first group of individuals that stepped out in the self-improvement industry in a big way. So you have got your Jim Rohns, your Bob Proctors, your Mark Victor Hansons, your Jack Canfields. And out of that, you've got your Tony Robbins. I come out of that because I was with Bob Proctor. Tony was with Jim Rohn. And then it just goes off in like a spider's web just everywhere. And with the amount of us that are out there that have been impacting people and covering the globe with a message of empowerment and change and abundance, in all different kinds of areas that have been taught, it was because a few people opened that door to some of these brilliant writings. But the book itself, like I said, had really kind of just tabled off into obscurity. I know for a fact there's people that I taught this to when I first started my career that have businesses that are doing hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and they still operate their business based on the knowledge that was in this book, and they basically were starting from broker or just a mediocre income when they began to study with me when I was teaching it in seminars every week back then. So How can this help you? How can this be a benefit to you? I think that it can be a benefit to you in a couple of different ways. One is that it really gives you a roadmap of how you need to show up in the world, and it probably more than any other book. I mean, I think that it really gets down to the nuts and bolts of who we need to be and how we need to show up in order to bring in what we want to bring in life. I think that the other thing that it does is that if you follow the instructions that are in the seminar with the book, the benefit to that is freedom. And I think that's, you know, I mean, take away my money, give me freedom. I would rather have freedom over anything else. You have to ask yourself a question, and this is where the problem really comes in. If somebody said to you, I'll give you, $1 billion cash, or the other option is 1 billion friends, which one would you take? And most people would say, give me the $1 billion cash. Well, I've got news for you. The people that would say, give me $1 billion cash would probably go through that money so fast it would make your head spin. Most people don't think that's true. But the truth is that 85% of all lottery winners are broke within 5 years. So the reason for that is they don't have the money consciousness. They don't have money maturity. They don't have entrepreneurial maturity in order to manage it. And it will all go away from them. Because the reason they didn't have any money in the first place is the same reason that they'll lose any money that they've been given. I would rather take the 1 billion friends. 1 billion people that are really good friends, you're going to make billions and billions and billions of dollars with those individuals versus the 1 billion, and you're going to have to develop yourself in order to be able to do it. What does that mean? What that means is that you never have to worry about money again. I don't ever have to worry about money again because I know what brings money into my life. You could take away every penny that I have. You could take away my business. You could take away my friends. You could take away everything I've got, and I can make it all back in a very short period of time. And I credit that to two things: this book and my mentor. Those are the two outside things. And then my ability to do the work that they instructed me on. And he didn't ever instruct me on anything that wasn't in this book. So, he talks about in the book, he says, a person's right to life means his right to have a free and unrestricted use of all things, which may be necessary to his fullest mental, spiritual, and physical unfolding. In other words, his right to be rich. So people develop in mind and soul and body by making use of things, and society is so organized that people must have money in order to become the possessor of things. Therefore, the basis of all human advancement has to be the science of getting rich. The object of all life is development, and everything that lives has an inalienable right to all the development that it is capable of attaining. I mean, we know that if we just look at nature. Nature develops into the fullest, most magnificent thing that it is supposed to be, whether it's the oak tree, or it's a mouse, or it's a bird, or it's a squirrel, or it's a moose, or it's a whale. It doesn't matter what it is. It all becomes the best that it can be because it has the unrestricted use of all the resources in the universe that it needs to become that. Human beings, we're not only are we restricted, we're taught that there's not enough and that we have to live our life based on the idea that there's not enough. So we don't get enough to begin with in order to develop ourselves. And then because our mindset is shut down around the idea that there's not enough, we never really look for messages or teaching that's going to take us beyond that. And if we find it, we usually reject it. That is an error. That is really the foundation of what's causing all the problems that we're experiencing is the idea that there's not enough. It gives us the belief that the people that have more are taking away from the people that don't have, and the people that don't have are victims to the people that have more, and nobody really understands that underneath all of it is the way that we think, and the way that we think creates the reality of our life. This book will totally change your life. I mean, if you want to know more about the seminar that I'm doing, you can go to davidnagel.com/SGR for the science of getting rich. davidnagel.com/SGR. You're welcome to take a look at it. If you want to be in the seminar, you want to join it, feel free to sign up for it and do that. If you don't, you want to get the book at least, and you want to give it a thorough study. And one of the benefits of the seminar is I could save you probably about 5 years of study on the book. So I cannot stress enough the potential for your life to change by actually going through this. You could also take a look at one of our earlier podcasts where I did a couple of chapters in the book, 4, 14, and 7. It is absolutely phenomenal. It'll change your life. And I just wanted to get that out there. I wanted to let you guys know that, how powerful this book is, how powerful the teaching is. It is, again, being made available to you. Give it some serious consideration. It'll make all the difference in the world. All right, guys, until we talk again, this is another episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Go out there and make it happen today. Bye for now. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.